Heavenly Father will always be our songs of praise. We thank you, Lord. It is because of amazing grace that we are here this morning. Thank you for all you have done for us, Lord. Thank you. And we pray, Father, Lord, this morning, the topic that we are looking at, maybe that we understand the reality of our life on this earth, the reality of your truth, what it means, Father, when we come face to face with it, and when we come face to face with life, with death, face to face with the eternal Word. Help us, O Lord, to see the reality of what you want us to have, to receive, possess, to be a part of our life in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, today. Thank you for this morning, that we have a place of fellowship. We commit all those sins of yours around the world, wherever they may be, Father. For those seeking souls and those who are the true worshippers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray that you keep watch over them, Lord. And may your amazing grace always be there. May always be present, Father, with the Holy Ghost touching upon them, Father, in a time of need. Father, thank you. Asking that you bless now, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When I prepared this sermon, or prepared this message, last few days, you know, I had a lot of crying. It's a very emotional trip. It has been for the past few years, actually. That I felt the overwhelming love of Christ Jesus. I remember the time when I got back, when the Lord called me back into his bosom after 2 years away from him. Oh my, I've never cried, you know, in a way before. I cried for, I don't know, about 2 hours at the altar, like a baby. Because of that love, that such love. And all the years, of course, in my life as a child of God, I always felt his presence, and there were times I failed him, there were times I was disobedient and quite rebellious, and time when I was frustrated. Yeah, I had a boxing, you know, a bout with him, you know. But he was always there, not to fight with me, but to comfort. I don't know how much each and every one of you here this morning are in love with Christ Jesus. Well, you know what? What we're going to go through this morning, one main subject followed by another one, that one is about the physical side of things, the other one is about the spiritual side of things. I'm entitling this message, Reality. Let us go to the book of Matthew 24, verse 1 to verse 14. And we are all very familiar, well acquainted with Matthew 24. But I want you to see something regarding Matthew 24 closely. And do not always take the Bible and say, this is not going to happen to me. It may not happen to you, because we're living in this nation of Singapore. But nevertheless, you never know what persecution will come upon you and how you're going to face it. We have been waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ year after year. And right? And he's still not here yet. And we just live the life as nothing is going to happen. If Christ is real in our life, we ought to know what he means to us and how we should react. Whether in time of war or peace, in time of anything, any situation. Because you never know what lies ahead within this year. Anything can happen. We have neighbors around us that are just mad. We see a bigger pictures of the world around us that just really crazy. And here we met in 24. Jesus went out and departed from the temple. That was the last time that he was in the temple, and he came out of the temple walking towards Mount Olivet. When he departed from the temple, his disciple came to meet him, and when he met him, to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as they walk up towards Mount of Olivet, he sat upon the Mount of Olivet, on the Mount of Olives. The disciple came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming and the sign of the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. I think that is one of the most important the answer that he gave to them. Take heed that no man deceive you. We all have the faith. We all have the truth. And there are many that have been deceived. And many of people are moving from one place to another. And many are seeking for the truth. They got it, next moment they lost it. Because they are not watchful. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ. That is, I'm the Messiah. And shall deceive many. And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places. Well, you know, we all heard of wars, rumors of wars. It has always been that the earth is never at peace. Never at any one time the earth actually had peace. When sin came in, there is already war between the Kenites and the Setites. And it grows, it becomes worse. And after the flood, not long after it, again, kingdom rises, kingdom falls, because kingdom fight against kingdom. And God has to scatter the people. When people migrate, they establish their territory, their land, and others went forth to conquer. And in conquering, they subjugate the other. And it will never end. Wars and rumors of war up to today. Nation against nation. And I think this is always on the rise. All this which is talked about here has been on the increase. And here today, we are on the very edge of the coming, of the closing, I would say, of the system of the world. America is fallen, has fallen. Long time already. But America still boasts of her greatness. Russia, Putin being ahead, a good man, being very patient. But we do not know what about those others around him. Over in China, we have Xi Jinping, and I think that he is really mad a little bit. Not as though he was like Mao Zedong, but he's just as bad. What is he doing now? He said, oh, we all know, you read in the paper, it's all about the politic issue. Regarding America, regarding trade, regarding, well, whatever. But behind it, few realize the persecution of Christians. And what about other countries in the Middle East? And now we have in the Middle East, we have brother Peter. How he suffered with another brother. Why? Go to all the unnecessary interrogation. You never know, one of these days you'd be put aside at any airport just because you are a Christian. I'm already a target in India. They could just pull me up and lock me up and say we're going to interrogate you, and you sit in the cell day after day. You know? And then kingdom against kingdom, what kind of kingdom are we talking about? Not just the kingdom politically, but religious kingdom are fighting against another. And even we have denomination of kingdom, there are so many different groups now, 33,000 divisions out of the Church of God. And there shall be famines. We see that. And what do you think is going to happen to the food resources? Because of pestilences out there. Because of what evil man who cares about money for the pocket? And there are a lot of powerful men behind nations, trade, agriculture, manipulating, People are just sort of financial, manipulating. Monsanto overseeds and over how, you know, he tried to help himself. But you know, a lot of times if you say they are helping somebody else, another country, there's always the agenda. And no quits. You know, I don't know, they expect a big one coming. I already don't know that. And I think that this year we can receive several more big ones. But would a big one come? For California. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted. They. Who are the they? You think just the Antichrist? The man with the 666 on his, you know, regime? Or his kingdom? Or Antichrist, anyone who is just against Christ, who just hate the word, who just hate Christian, who hate the Jew. Yeah. Who hate the Bible. And shall kill you. Well, I'm safe in Singapore. You think so? You think so that you are safe in Singapore? You don't know what can become overnight. You think that we are all safe because we have good government here? Yeah, of course, thank the Lord for that. But the government is not in control. President Trump is not in control of America. Putin is not in control of Russia. Because there is a higher power. We must remember that. Yeah, all we need are good men to help run the government, give better life to the citizen. But you never know what happened. What can happen when the evil ones in this world, the gods of this evil world, can deceive somebody else, could possess somebody. Look at the history of America. Look at the history of Africa. What happened in many African countries? You can see that, you have seen that. Zimbabwe, Rhodesia in the past, South Africa. Huh? And people like Nelson Mandela have to suffer for it. What about Congo? Huh? Why did a country like Belgium win there? America also want to have it. Why? It's because of some rich minerals there in Congo. And I think one thing for sure, even any country that is rich in resources or minerals, they suffer. And that's what happened in Congo. They have diamonds, they have uranium. They have so much of minerals up there. And so other country, more powerful nation, go over there to the control. And it caused a lot of problems. And to protect, well, the resources, corrupt men become president, use the public money and buy mercenaries to help fight for them. Yeah, I was watching this movie on Netflix, The Siege of Jadotville. Wow, it's a true story. The corruption is there, you can see. Well, 11, verse 9, sorry. And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. No wonder Christians are so much hated. or just because you carry the name of Christ. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Now, false prophets are different from false Christs. False Christs are many that call themselves the Messiah. We have that in the world. False prophets are many, as you can see out there in charismatic season. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. When sins are abound, and many people thought, wow, it got cold, really, really very cold. We were just watching what is coming now. And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I want you to look at this verse 13. And he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. There are a lot of people that don't, a lot of Christians, they did not endure to the end. When they are afraid of death, when they are being persecuted, they give up the faith. Yeah. When something did not go right, they give it up. When their parents are not behaving right, they give it up. Or they see another Christian not be behaving, and they call the other Christian hypocrite, and they themselves will give it up. People get offended, and they give up something of value. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for the witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And we are near the end. The gospel has been around, preached around the world already, in practically every country. They have heard the gospel. Now let's watch this video.
This past Sunday, members of Early Rain Covenant Church were blocked from entering their worship building. With their leaders detained and facing jail, churchgoers decided to pray and worship outside.
On December 9th, authorities in the city of Chengdu arrested prominent Christian pastor Wang Yi, along with his wife and 100 members of Early Rain Covenant Church. Authorities shut down the church and charged Pastor Wang with inciting subversion of state power. He and his wife could face up to 15 years in prison if convicted.
Early Rain, like scores of other congregations, is outside government control as part of China's burgeoning so-called underground or house church movement. Appearing on CBN News' World Beat, Todd Nettleton of Voice of the Martyrs says this movement has touched every corner of China.
And that's the exciting thing, is all across China, there are house churches, there are what they call family churches. And the reason the communist government is so worried is because there are far more Christians in China than there are members of the Communist Party.
Nettleton says Beijing is waging a brutal and widespread crackdown to stop the growth of these unregistered churches.
This crackdown, I think, is a direct response to the fear of the Communist Party leaders, who see the church growing way faster than the party is.
Mr. Yang, has China declared war on Christianity?
Yes.
Fong Gong Wang, a leading expert on religion in China, says what started several years ago as a small government campaign against unregistered churches has turned into all-out war.
The campaign was first experimented in Zhejiang province in 2014 to 2016. Now it has become a nationwide campaign.
A campaign where authorities routinely target houses of worship, destroy crosses, burn Bibles, and arrest pastors. Mr. Fong Gong, who once predicted that China could become the world's largest Christian nation, says the government, headed by Xi Jinping, views Christianity as a threat to the party's long-term political aspirations.
Christians are the remaining NGOs in the shrinking civil society in China. And under Xi Jinping, and the Chinese Communist Party is really trying to establish a totalitarian rule of Chinese society. And the Christians are standing in the way of totalitarianism. So that's why they became a target.
Pictures shared on Early Rain's Facebook page claim to show that police physically abused some of those arrested after they were taken into custody. Foreseeing this possible arrest, Pastor Wong wrote a letter titled My Declaration of Faithful Disobedience, with instructions that it should be published if he went missing for more than 48 hours. In it, Wong vowed to use nonviolent methods to stand against Chinese laws he believed were against the Bible and God. My Savior Christ also requires me to joyfully bear all costs for disobeying wicked laws, Wang wrote. I am filled with anger and disgust at the persecution of the church by this communist regime, at the wickedness of their depriving people of the freedoms of religion and of conscience. Wang is no stranger to authorities. He was once one of China's most prominent civil rights lawyers and intellectuals. In 2005, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ and decided to convert to Christianity. He gave up his law career to pursue his calling as a pastor and started Early Rain in China's Sichuan province. His sermons, many of them widely circulated on social media, soon made him a rising star and an important player in the Christian revival that was sweeping China. All that has come to a screeching halt with his arrest and the closure of the church. Still, members of his congregation vowed to keep meeting despite the risk of arrest. George Thomas, CBN News.
Once you, maybe you'll be converted.
Yeah. So they do a cut, and then they ask
you.
Recite from the Quran. And if you couldn't, they do another cut.
I still remember how traumatized we were, you know? We were so scared from just leaving our house. You couldn't really trust them to be humane. They were known for killing people, known for making people disappear, and known for permanently disabling people.
The churches are destroyed. You cannot preach the gospel because half of your members have run away. You can't even hold church. Because while you are in church, the church is surrounded by herdsmen, and everybody's gone down, how can you preach the gospel? It is impossible.
She cried out and she said, Lord, help me. And then one of the soldiers came up and put a pistol in her mouth and said to her, I'll show you how God helps you. And he shot her through the mouth and blew out the side of her face.
When he was shot from here, he fell here. This is the blood of that man until today. After shooting the guy at the door, went to the pastor, and I started shooting those in the front.
Persecution exists behind an iron curtain erected by the press. And as a result, the church is largely asleep when it comes to persecution. We live in luxury while our brother and sister are suffering greatly.
Well, you heard what the man said in the last part of the video. You know, Christians are out there suffering. And here we are. Well, he basically talking about America. The particular know nothing about what's happening out there. They're comfortable. We just don't realize what's going on. You're looking at the video. These are just a few. But there's a whole lot more that people are putting on the internet because they want the world to know. But news media, like our TV station or newspaper, do you think they publish this thing? No. Huh. All right. Let's just look at this PowerPoint now. What a Christian soul hated and persecuted around the world. Basically, the only thing that I look around and just check it out and you find that, well, dictatorial paranoia. People like the China premier, huh? Jing Xingping. I mean, they fear the Christian. But what do we believe in that they are so afraid? That they have to be persecuted, put in jail. Of course, especially when you're a leader, you're a pastor, they put you in jail for as long as they want to. And they want the believers to scatter and get lost. Burn their Bibles. Why would you stand when that situation comes upon you? I mean, you might already think, it's not going to happen to me here in Singapore. Put yourself in their shoes. And if you were there, that's why I'm saying this, you are very fortunate to be born here. And for many people who are living in a free world, free country, where there is freedom of worship. But if you were born, it happened to be that you are born in that place, in that country, or in Sudan, or Yemen, or Somalia, or Afghanistan. If you are a Christian, will you stand for your faith? Now I'm stirring this up because don't think that we are going to have a lot of good time here. Because you never know what's going to come. When the system of the world starts falling, every nation will be affected. And if you are not really prepared for the going, you remain here. Political oppression. Yeah, of course, it's about the political system. They want to safeguard the system. Any religion or any party is a threat to them. And look, in Africa, many times when you have election, you see it I don't know whether you all really look at what's going on in the world too. Zimbabwe, down in the South Africa, people, some personal or someone feel that they are being threatened by another more light politician. They go out and do harm to him. We see this all around the world. And even around here in our neighborhood, nation not about us, we can see that. And we can see Philippines for the last how many years? Religious nationalism. Our own country, as some would say, in their own, wherever they come from, our religion is Islam. Our religion as a nation is Hinduism. America claims our religion is Christianity. Everybody claims the national religious, nationalism. And that's where the oppression comes to. Because you're not in the majority. And we thank God that Singapore has been for all these many years kept the balance of all religion. And we thank God for that. Communism, is a big threat. They say China is opening up the door. Yeah, we know now it's capitalist. Capitalism is dying in China now, but there's still communism. Though as you saw the video, there are more Christian than communists. But what is the real threat? Let's see, there are 50 nations in the world that are highly targeted by all these antichrist spirits. Whether you're talking about dictatorial paranoia, political oppression, religious nationalism or communism or whatever it is, there are more than 50 nations in the world that are under oppression. The Christians are there are under oppression. But we're looking at this major 50 of them. Number one, Korea. 94 out of 100. That's the rating. Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Sudan, Eritrea. You know, I don't know, many of you may not know where Eritrea is. It's just next to Ethiopia. Yemen, Iran, India, Syria, Nigeria, Iraq, Maldives, Omodif, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Uzbekistan, Myanmar, Laos, Vietnam, South African Republic, Algeria, Turkmenistan, Mali, Mauritania, Turkey, China, Ethiopia, Tajikistan, Indonesia, Jordan, Nepal, Bhutan, Kazakhstan, Morocco, Brunei, Tunisia, Qatar, Mexico, Kenya, Russia, Malaysia, Kuwait, Oman, UAE, Sri Lanka, Colombia, Bangladesh, Palestinian territories, and Azerbaijan. It's 50. If you're born in this country to be a Christian, you have to stand up for that. And your life might even be forfeited. You saw the video where 21 of them, because they're Christian, they were taken and beheaded at the beach or shot at the beach. You saw the woman in Indonesia, because she was a Christian, took a gun and blew her jaw off. Would you be willing to say, I'm a Christian, and a gun pointing at you, you're a Christian, let me see whether your gun is more powerful than my gun? And decided to put on the side of your jaw. Are you willing to say, yes, I'm a Christian? Will you be willing? There has always been a question. Are you able to face death or face persecution in a moment when something is held at your throat to slice it? Will you be? I'm bringing this up today because I want to stir your spirit. We can sing about God, we can talk about goodness of God when everything is fine, then here in our land. You know what? I like to go on documentary and see the reality of life. Innocent people suffer. Or just because they are Christian. Or innocent people just suffer because of some capitalism, people who are greedy for money, taking their land. just as many countries in South America. When Monsanto's Bayer pesticides are being used to spray the crop, the carrier of the pest, and those spray those chemicals, the wind blow got across the people living around, and many of them are afflicted with some disease. They couldn't care less, and the food that they export to other countries and people eat it. Bayer, you know the name Bayer? I think you all very well know some of the chemicals you use when you spray against the insects and kill cockroaches and all. Yeah. Big business. Use my product. The advertisements did a good job to bring me money for a lot of people. So remember. Remember the situation we are in. Remember the situation those people are in. Those Christians. And when you watch the video, don't for a moment think, oh, look at them. Look at these Chinese in China. They can wear trousers. How come we cannot wear trousers here? Why must a sister wear skirt and dress proper? Look at the Chinese woman. Look, they cut their hair. And how come we must keep long hair? Look, they put makeup. How come we can't put makeup? Let me tell you, brother and sister, for your thinking, if you ever think like that, go live in China. Go live in a place that you never have the privilege of understanding more of the Word of God. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible teach you and me? To many people, the gospel is just a gospel. Jesus sent. They don't worry about anything else in the Bible. Yes, Jesus said. That's the beginning of life. But what do you do with this life? Huh? Is you as a tree? Are you planted by the rivers of living water? Or are you just want to be planted the way you want to be planted? Out there in the world? To live like the world? You see, those Chinese Christians, they have the very basic. When you are in a place where you have no access to information, when the door is closed, you know what? I bought a Xiaomi phone last year. I thank God, year earlier, at a computer show. You know, there was this offer. You know, that's a lot. That's got a good offer. $50-$60 save. I bought. But the seller did not tell me that that phone cannot be used here in Singapore. It cannot be updated. I didn't know about it. It can only be used in China. They block your Google Play. They block your Play Store. See the system work? That's why in China a lot of things is bad, bad, bad. They have no access. Here you have access. Huh? That's just what I said. You cannot compare yourself to other Christians who are less fortunate than you. Compare yourself to me. and see whether you can live up to the word of God. What did Paul tell Timothy? Follow me as I follow Christ. Right? Paul did not tell Timothy, follow Apollo. That's why those believers at Ephesus that Paul had, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? See, they never have the information about the Holy Spirit. But we here, we have so much information. And more than you have, more than is required of you. Is that you don't expect a child, a student, who is in primary one or two, you cannot compare yourself when you are in primary secondary four and compare yourself to that student or pupil in primary two. That's what the Bible talks about. We move from glory to glory. God expects us to grow. Progress, not regret. Not retrograde backwards, not, you know, regress. I mean, we move forward with the Lord. Do you see what the word in reality is all about? Let's go to the book of Genesis. And God said unto, Genesis 35, sorry. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go out to battle, and dwell there. And make there an altar unto God that appear unto thee when thou fleest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they give unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. You see, when Jacob overcame in the wrestling with the angel, God dealt with him. And I believe that Jacob realized a lot of things. Until you know who you believe and what you believe, until you overcome your own weakness by the power of God, as God dealt with you. Sometimes, you know, we have our weakness, we just didn't bother about it. We tried so hard, but we never could. It's because why? You don't wrestle with the Lord. When the angel come and wrestle with him, and when God come and wrestle with you and deal with it, you need to understand this. He's chastising our life. And so when Jacob came to that revelation, and God turned to go to battle, and he told his family, let us go back. Remove all your strange gods, your idols. They all have it. You think about it. The family were people who know Yahweh. And they still keep those little gods. I don't know what's gods in your life. Some of us may have some little gods in our life. And the woman took off their earring and gave it to him. We are a changed family, so to speak. We are a changed man or woman. We don't need the things of the world to drag us down. And he took them and buried in near the oak of Shechem. That's a place of memory of his changing life. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 3 and 4. whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and a wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. True. See, our life as a Christian, a believer, is to live simple. How many of you know this person? Corrie Ten Boom. Very wonderful person. That's the family. Betsy, Nori, Papa Casper, that is. That's William, the brother. That's the mama. Her name is Cornelia and Cody. If you do not know this person, Corrie Ten Boom, go read the book called The Hiding Place. You know, I would love, when I go to heaven, I'm going to meet this family. They are such an inspiration. The life that they live for God was such an exemplary life to many Christians. Casper had a watch shop. He repairs watches and all. Sometimes it was so important, he bought plenty of watches, he forgot even to charge the customer. Rich family, well-to-do family, they're Christian. From the Dutch Reformed group, Calvinistic in view and faith. Lovely family. If you want to watch The Hiding Place, you can go on YouTube and watch it. It's free out there. But it's not so clear, but a little grainy. But you can watch it there. Or read the book, The Hiding Place. Or go to CorrieTenBoom.org and read about the family. You know, this family, during the war, when the war came, and the mama already died before the war. When the war came, they lived in a place in a city called Haarlem, Netherlands. And because they have a big house and the shop is there, they chose to hide Jews in their homes. They built secret compartment in the wall, practically you only could stand. They built so well that nobody could find the place. Even the German soldier later on, when there were some informer leak out what was going on. They came looking and searching, they could not find the hiding place. Remarkable place. They even hide resistant fighter. That's the kind of family. Here are the three sisters, Betsy, Corrie, Nolly. Corrie is the youngest. Now, let me tell you the story about this family. They really love the Jew. To them, it is because of them they got the oracles. They have the Messiah and they were thankful for it. So when a woman comes knocking at your door, then the German Gestapo is after her, they choose to hide her. Even though the headquarters is just down the road. Day after day, week after week, month after month, one or two Jew will come asking for help, or a resistance fighter will come asking to hide some resistance fighter. One day, there was this case of someone that needed help with a child. And there in the room discussing was a Christian man as well. The Christian man said, no, it's too dangerous. It's too dangerous. But the case going on, he said, we must help these people, they're God's people. The Christian man said, it's a responsibility, I'm not going to do it. And he went out. Corey said this, good father. How could you do that? He's a Christian. What is his love? Compassion, sympathy, whatever. What is that? You know what the father told her? If you see a mouse in a cookie jar, does it make the mouse a cookie? See that? Makes sense, no? If you see a mouse in the cookie jar, does it make the mouse a cookie? You see a person saying that he's a Christian in this fellowship, does it make him a Christian? And that's what Brother Abraham made one statement. One time I read it. It's out of the blue he made a statement like that. That doesn't seem to be in context with what he was preaching. And he said this. Now is testing time by sin. A simple statement. I still remember to this day the first time I read. Now is testing time by sin. How strange. Yeah. You know, later on, they were taken. They were arrested. Because of the informant. They took them, put them in prison, put them in camp. The father died. His brother died. William, that is. So they took no reason. I don't remember much about no reason, but Betsy and Corey. Betsy is the older one. Corey, the youngest of the children. They were transferred to a camp that was really bad. In Germany's Ravensbrück. They were thrown in there with all the prisoners, the Jews, and whatever you have. They said they could. There were just all these small little bed here and there. And there were passages where you had to go and seek a farm. And then when you sleep on the lower bunk, you could not even sit straight because you were hit the bunk above with your head. You hit the bunk above. So they slept whatever they could. And it smells, the whole place smells because of straws and damp. So they slept, they tried to sleep. Corey screamed out, something bit me. And they looked at the feet, there were a lot of fleas. And Corey says to Betsy, how could we sleep in this place? Betsy all the time was praying. She was praying out long, and Corey was thinking that she was talking to her. Looking for answer from God and all these things. And Betsy told her, we found the answer. What's the answer? Rejoice in the Lord always. In every circumstances, rejoice. Can you? Now when you think about the situation, because one day, I don't know. If the Lord were to tarry in Singapore, something else happened. You never know. Or perhaps in your travel to another country on your vacation, to a place you least expected, you might be a target and put aside. Like our brother in the Middle East. Well, Justin was thrown back to America. Oh, because his passport said he was born in Nazareth. And he said he could lie if he wanted to, because in Pennsylvania there is a city called, or town called Nazareth. Now you know how they interrogated him, they locked him and sent him and sent him back. He would never be able to enter into that country anymore. But he got to go that night, sleeping in the cell. And nothing much to eat. And you know what Brother Justin told me? Even for that day of being interrogated and, well, threatened and all whatever, he was deported back straight. And he went to back to where he came from. And that's Turkey. Then he bought a ticket to go back to America. So he flew from Turkey to a city in Germany, I can't remember the name, to board the plane. And he talked to me on the phone, said, "Brother Gann, I never realized I could sit in the biggest plane in the world, in the 380, Lufthansa." So he went in and he sat down in the economy class, all full of people. Every seat was taken. So he sat down there and wanted to watch a video because, you know, nothing better to do, boarding and whatever is on. It wasn't working. The screen was not working. So he got attendant, reset the whole thing, still not working. After the plane took off, still not working. 3 times he reset. Of all the seats in the plane, his monitor was not working. So what he said, "Lord, maybe you want me to sleep. Okay, I don't know how to sleep." After that, the attendant went up and called for a senior. The senior came. "We're so sorry that this thing happened. It never happened before. But get out of your seat and follow me." And the girl just thing, she brought you to business class? He said, "Yes!" And he went to business class and he had a good big stew and he, "Oh, Brother Gann, I was not eating when I was down there in the cell. But now this is good food. Ha!" He said, "God bless you. God had everything work out just to bless him." So he had a comfort ride, flight back, good food, and enjoy himself. You never know. Because he is faithful to the Lord. And Brother Peter, well, you know how the whole works out. He's a very kind brother. Never collect the rent for those who cannot even pay. And that brother helped him. That man helped him. And even the army man helped him. Because he got free treatment, special treatment at his chicken restaurant. You know? So much so, you know, everything's fine. So much so that those that had was, you know, that since he was told by the bigger guy that, well, he's a good fellow, he's a good chap, and I know him, okay, send him off to another authority. And they have to hear his testimony. And they let him go. When you come to that place, what are you going to do? Betsy and Corey, they're in the situation. But you know what? They were able to smuggle a Bible into the camp. There were very lovely sisters, I tell you that. And Patsy had pernicious anemia from birth. And she said, I'm not going to get married. And you help. She just go to prisoner to, from prisoner to prisoner and read to them the Bible. And the guard, they couldn't come into the room. You know why? It's so smelly, full of fleas. And Betsy and you help just encourage those prisoners with the word of God. And God gave her three visions. She'll be released. And upon her release, they will buy a place, set up a museum. And there's another thing, I can't remember. And that's what happened. They were released. And it wasn't long after her release that she died. She died at age, I think, 59 years old. Corrie. She was released on the technical error. Somehow, it was an error. And she was set free. After the war, Corrie is the only one that remained behind. She went back to Germany to try to bring the German people to know about the love of God. And there, she met with two German soldiers. And one of them was very cruel to Betsy. Met them. And Corrie, forgive him. Forgiveness. That's what it's all about. And Corrie, when he was down in Africa, so we're relating a story. And you know, she told this story to these Christian people. He was telling them that, Papa, I'm afraid of death. When he was young, when she was young, she was afraid of what's going to happen to her. She told her daddy one day, I'm afraid that I will never be strong enough to be a martyr for Christ. I will not be strong enough to be a martyr for Christ. Her daddy said to her, tell me, when you take a train from Harlem to Amsterdam, when do I give you the money for the ticket? 3 weeks before? She says, no, Daddy. You give me the money for the ticket just before we get on the train. And the father said, that's right. So it is with God's strength. Our wise Father in heaven knows when you're going to need things too. Today, you do not need the strength to be a martyr. Right down here you are. You don't need the strength to be a martyr. But as soon as you are called upon the honor of facing death for Jesus Christ, He will supply the need, the strength you need, just in time. And I told you this before. When I read history about how the Christians were sent to the arena for the entertainment of the Roman people and letting out the bears and the lions with a Christian right there in the Colosseum. And the lion came charging and the bear came charging and mother and father were standing there with the child. What do you think happened at that moment? I've told you this several times. In that moment, there must be something from above that comes down facing death. You know, That's why we talk about testing time. Here we don't get much testing. The only testing is that we grumble a lot about things like, about the queue being so long, about the train being late, the bus being late. That's our complaint. That's our testing. And we complain. Try to be in the shoe of Betsy and Corey. They came from a rich family. But they helped the needies, the Jew, those who were persecuted, knowing that they were faced death or sentenced to jail for a long time, in helping what the German Nazis call what? Pariah of the world. The enemies. The scums of the earth. Every problem in the earth today is blame of the Jews and then the Christian. Why? Because we believe in the same God. This is the only two faith in the world that believe in the same God. A God who's real. Huh? And there, not the 50 nations around the world, not just 50, I say there are more, but those are the top 50s. And Christians are facing persecution every day. Tortured every day. Died every day. These are realized the reality. When they were in the jail one time, Cody was sharing the Bible, reading, tell the story to the prisoner. He wanted to hear. And not realizing that a God came walking from behind her. And one of the inmates said, put away the Bible, hide the Bible. Ronnie is here. So did she know that? And Ronnie stood behind, just listening to what she was talking, sharing the gospel. Everybody was surprised. And when they sing a song and finish the song, Ronnie said, sing another one. Sing another one. You imagine this. Corey was so strong in the faith. She's not afraid to die. She just testified about the Lord Jesus Christ, the love. But here we are. We don't even talk about Jesus to people. Is our God real? This is Corrie ten Boom's most quotable quote. I love them. She's praying most of the time with Betsy when they were in prison. Is your prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? You know what does it mean? Is your prayer your steering wheel of your life? You pray every day the Lord will guide you. You pray for others. Or is it a spare tire only you use when you're in trouble? When a Christian shuns fellowship with other Christians, the devil smiles. When he stops studying the Bible, the devil laughs. When he stopped praying, the devil jumped for joy. And that's very true. If you look back at the world, you will be distressed. If you look within, you will be depressed. If you look at God, you will be at rest. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. That's why you look at the two German person, warrior God, and one that was so terribly cruel to Betsy, she forgave him. It is a power that breaks the chain of bitterness and the shackle of selfishness. Forgiveness is setting the prisoner free, only to find out that the prisoner was me. Yeah. Many times we don't realize we are our own prisoner. You can never lean. You can never learn that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have.
They just released a study that more people are healed in a Catholic church than Pentecostal churches. No, it's a fact. That's an absolute fact. The studies have proven it. Because Catholic people revere the Eucharist. More people get healed in a Catholic church during communion than Pentecostals during church attendance or communion, because to us it's symbolic. Well, Jesus didn't say, this is symbolic of my body. He said, this is my body. He didn't say, this is symbolic of my blood. He said, this is my blood. And I believe, I always have believed, that in the spirit it is his body. In the spirit it's his blood. So you revere it. There's healing in communion. Absolutely. I've seen it happen in my own ministry. And there's healing in the Catholic churches because these people are devoted and show up every Sunday. They don't church hop. We hop. They don't. That's why we're sick and many of them are healed. Miraculous, I mean powerful stuff going on in those churches, Catholic churches. People just miracles like you can't believe. Miracles are breaking out today in Coptic churches in Egypt for the same reasons. You ought to go on YouTube and look up Father Macari. He'll blow your head off in a good way. You'll see miracles you can't believe in his ministry. I met that amazing man, Macari. Just put the word Macari. MCC or MKK, it'll come out, whatever. There's not a whole lot of Macaris out there. You'll see the miracles. You'll see the people getting free from demons by the thousands. Muslims come into his meetings and he walks with his cross and chants in the Coptic language and sticks his cross on their heads and they get healed. Wow. Amazing. Because they believe, as I believe, you must be faithful to your church. It's all about the church. I think we miss that in our Pentecostal circles. So, any among you sick in the church, come to the elders, and the guarantee is you will be healed. Not maybe, you will be healed, and additionally your sins be forgiven. It's all in the Bible.
That's what he said. I'm just quoting the most important part of what he said. And we deal with this. Now that video is very subtle. There's always an agenda when people like him come upon the stage and the pulpit to preach. There's truth in what he said, and there's deception in what he said. There's a lot of subtlety in that. They just released a video, a study, that more people are healed in the Catholic Church than Pentecostal churches. That's an absolute fact. The studies have proven it. What was the study? If I would tell you that there is a study, the Chinese people are dying faster, earlier than the blacks. Right? Would you believe me? There's a study in this, there's that. There's no fact to prove, because there are lots of fake news there. Okay? But I want to say that there's some truth in what he said, when he said that there are more people here in the Catholic Church than Pentecost. That is questionable, but people are here in the Catholic Church, no doubt. People are here in temples, no doubt. There are people who doesn't believe in God, they're healed, no doubt. But what does it mean? revere the Eucharist. Oh. Yeah, I know the Catholic people revere the Eucharist, the cup, but they don't drink from it. The only thing that it appeases the wafer, the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Stick on your tongue. The body of Christ. And they put it on their tongue, and that's it. And I spoke to Bible, it. Is that right? I know that because you cannot. I was told by God, you cannot bite on it, right? You're supposed to let your wafer swallow it, and because they put this up because you cannot bite on Jesus Christ. You come out here, you swallow him. What rubbish is that teaching? But they believe in it. So they believe in it because they were taught like that. So the Eucharist in the cup, but God will reveal the Eucharist. Most of them get healed in the Eucharist during communion, then Pentecost during church attendance or community. Cause to us, it's symbolic. What is symbolic? To them, what he said? Well, Jesus did not say it's symbolic of my body. He said, this is my body. He did not say this is symbolic of my blood. He said, this is my blood. And I believe, I always have believed that in the spirit it is his body. In the spirit it says blood. So you reveal it. What is his purpose? Huh? There is healing in the community. In the community, absolutely. I have seen it happen in my own ministry. There is healing in the Catholic churches. Is because these people are devoted and show up every Sunday. So you want to be healed, you better show up every Sunday. You think the Catholic people go to church every Sunday? Really? That preacher is a dangerous preacher to me as far as I'm concerned. One of the most dangerous. He has deceived people and people still think that he's somebody. But you know, there has to be generous and general. Somebody has to fulfill those roles. Huh? They have to be people like Mother Teresa, so that she could be a blessing to people in Calcutta. Right? Somebody has to do the job. They have to people like Mao Zedong to do the job. They have to be people like the pharaohs who come against Israel. They have to be. Because all we are living in a world where there is war going on in heavenly places. And that which is in heavenly places are fighting on the earth. They don't church hop. We hop, they don't. The Catholic people don't hop church, you know? I mean, in Singapore, there are a lot of Catholic churches here. I mean, you go to, normally, can you go to the church that's nearby? But the Protestant churches are many, different denominations. They hop from Baptist to Methodist, Methodist to Anglican, Anglican to Episcopal, and because of the Pentecostal, the Charismatic. Hop, hop, hop. So the Catholic don't hop. We are like grasshopper, we hop too much. Or maybe a frog or a toad. They don't. That's why we are sick. There. And many of them, the Catholic, they were healed. Miraculous. I mean, powerful stuff going on in those Catholic churches. Wow. What do you think his agenda? What do you think is his agenda when he talks like that? I won't be surprised the audience sitting out there, hold on, they are Catholic. And you know there are a lot of Catholic people now, they are very much taken up by charismaticism. And what do you think it was his purpose? Huh? The dollar sign. That's what he's seeing. When you see people out there, you see all the dollar signs flying up on people's pocket and wallet. That's a fact. Do you know how many million he's net worth? Do you know how many million he's worth? $42-45 million US dollars. That's a lot of money, isn't it? Huh? What about William Graham? How much is his net worth? Huh? He doesn't even want to handle the money. Do you know that? When people give him a nice car, he said, "What? I don't need a nice car. I have my own wagon that's still working." Somebody, I believe, he wrote him a $1 million check. He said, "Rebecca, don't need it." Money, the love of money, is the root of all evils. And that's what happened. Huh. So, let's go back a little bit here. This is my body. Yeah, the Bible said, okay, let's go to the Bible now. Matthew 26:39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Now I want you to look at it very carefully. Yeah, when we talk about the cup, what is the cup? Is it symbolic? Or is it like the Catholic says, that cup contains the real blood? I mean, I'm sure I'm correct, right? You Catholic, those who are you, ex-Catholic? Sister Lucy, that right? Huh? The cup is the real blood, right? Oh, come on, you forgot already. The cup is the real blood. Because in their pronouncement, the hocus, the apocus, and the santos, or whatever they are saying, they become the real blood of Jesus, and the wafer become the real body. And the way that this man is trying to tell you, that's what they reveal the Eucharist. Huh? The Bible said, "This is my body. This is my blood." It didn't say, "This is the symbolic of my body or symbolic of my blood." What is he trying to say? Here in this Matthew here, Jesus prayed when he was in the garden. Said, "Let this cup pass from me." When you talk about this cup, what is this? Are you able to drink of the cup that I drank when he told the disciple? Are you able to drink the cup that I'm drinking? He told us, yeah, what is this cup? What is this cup? What cup? A cup of what? Of wine? What cup is he talking about? It's about the suffering. The cup of this suffering. Somebody are not drinking a literal cup. I'm suffering because I drink the cup. No. Drinking the cup is, are you going to able to go through with it? Going to life, living it. That's why you want to be a Christian. Are we able to go through the same what Jesus Christ go through? And the disciples say, yes, we can. Yes, Lord, they can. Because he will give us the strength to go through suffering. But Jesus doesn't want to die. Doesn't want to drink the cup if it's possible with God. Let's go to Mark 14:22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed, break it and give it to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11:25. 1 Corinthians 11:25. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament, New Covenant, in my blood. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, in what do we read in Mark, of what Jesus said when he was at the table, is incomplete without understanding what Paul is talking. Read Corinthians, those three verses there. Look at it. When he took the cup, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This cup is the new covenant. The old covenant is the law. And that's grace coming up. This is the new covenant in my blood. What do you mean by in my blood? It means something that Christ has to give up his life. He has to shed the blood. Because the Old Testament taught them that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Sin cannot be washed away without the shedding of blood. Next one. For then explain. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, what did he say next? You show the Lord's death till he comes. So drinking the cup, eating the bread, we are showing his death till he comes. And those, in the next one he says, those who eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily is guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. What does it mean? Remember what Jesus said. He says, I'm the bread from heaven. Remember this? I'm the bread from heaven. And he said, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you do not have eternal life. What does it mean? What does it mean? What is blood? It's the spirit of life. Because the blood is life. What is the body? What is the body? The body is food. What is the body? It's the word. This. It's what you should eat. Remember the angel in Revelation 10:7? Revelation 10. John was told to take the book from the hand and eat it. This is what. What is the body? The Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh. And we come to communion. Not just on the communion day where we are foot washing and partaking of the bread and cup. You are here. We are breaking bread even now. We are breaking bread. Not the literal bread. This bread. The bread of life. And you are eating it. And when you eat the bread of life, you remember this. It is only possible because the life was given. Blood was shed. If Jesus did not shed his blood, you cannot eat of the bread. Because you cannot be a part of the body. The reason why you eat of it is so that you are a part of the body. You are part of the word. It's not symbolic. Nor is it literal. It's pointing to the substance, the elements of life. Blood is spirit. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no eternal life. The body is the word. The blood is the spirit. The word that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. So what is all this teaching that people can't understand? The colleague said it is really the body of Christ. It is really the blood. They're rebelling. That's why they can heal. Really? Sure, I know that kind of people can get healed. Why? Why? Why do people get healed? Exodus 33, verse 19. It says here, and he said, I will make all my goodness, that's what God said to Israel, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Yeah. You know, God's angels are moving around the earth, looking at every continent, looking at every nation, checking it out. Huh? And if the Lord's grace fall upon a sinner somewhere, be in the church or temple or whatever, and the person are just looking for healing, you know what? If God wants to see the man healed, or the woman healed, or the child healed, He will just heal the person. Remember, because God says, I'll be gracious to whom I will. I'll be merciful to whom I will. You didn't choose me, Brother John, right? You didn't choose God. You didn't choose God. God chose you. God called you. It's all about God Himself. Only when you give us the gospel and we're confronted with it, between life and death, what would you choose? Between heaven or hell, what would you choose? Yeah. There are a lot of people out there that don't believe in God. There are people out there that are still lost in sin. But you never know, can you? You know, for me, what is it that I know about God? Nothing. When I was young, yes, there was idol that I prayed to. But I look at it and say, well, that's just an idol. But when the name of Jesus was spoken to me about the goodness of His gospel, that's something about that name. There is just something about that name. And there is something that draws me to go and learn more. Isn't it true? You are given this message of the end time. A message to make us to be aware of our standing before God. Because there are all kinds of believers in the churches. Yes. Let's go to the next one. Miracles are breaking out today in Coptic churches, in Egypt, for the same reason. You ought to go on YouTube and look up Father Nekem. Blow your head out in a good way. You see miracles, you can't believe in His ministry. I met that amazing man. You see people getting free from demons by the thousands. Amazing. Because they believe, as I believe, you must be faithful to your church. It's all about the church. You got to be faithful to the church. And which is true in one sense. Because there are people that come to this church that are not faithful. I know that. They even openly told me that. Huh? Let me tell you something about this, about the church. We know there is only one church, that is true. But that doesn't mean you church hop. As some people do. They hop, 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 and think there's no place to go. They started to have their own fellowship in the home now. Who's the pastor? They got no pastor. Who's the one that preach and share? Somebody did. Somebody do it. But was it called of God to do it? People doesn't care. They think they're okay. They think they're okay. Don't mock God. I said this many times. Don't mock God. Don't think you know what you do not know. And do what you think you don't even know. And you do it. And in the end, you find yourself in trouble with God. You understand? Yeah, what is He trying to do? Be faithful. What is He trying to do? Well, in the way of God, He said it's all about the church. All about the church is not quite right too. Because what He's trying to say is that don't church hall people. And you know a lot of Catholics up there, you all get special miracle healing too. It's all about the church. Come. Come to where my church. So the world, something I'm talking like that. The only one thing is every one of us must have a home-based church. That's for sure. To where we could shine for Christ, to where we could further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? I think we missed that in our Pentecostal sermon. Now, Father McCarry, he's a Catholic priest. Out there, out there in Egypt, been out there in Egypt, Coptic church too. Now, he mentioned about how that, well, you can see on YouTube. He prayed for people with a cross. Sick people come, he prayed for blind people, prayed for with a cross, pressing on their head. Because they were taught to do that. Because there are a lot of people in this calendar, they are very iconic. They use a cross, they use holy water. In the Coptic church or in Greek Orthodox, the same thing, they have this cross, they will use. And they press a person's head. And people get healed. Yes, people get healed. Is it because they use the cross to press on your head and you get healed? No. It's not about the cross pressing on the head. It's not about the holy water. It's all about the grace of God to get you healed. So, any among you sick in the church, come to the elders. And the guarantee is that you will be healed. Not maybe, you will be healed. And additionally, your sins be forgiven. It's all in the Bible. This is 100% correct. That's why I told you how many times, and you still don't get it. If you are sick, when we close our fellowship, I say, is there anybody any request? You put up your hand, you ask for prayer for the sick. I'm waiting for someone, for you, if you get the revelation, to come up here as a brother again, anoint me with oil, and pray for me. Where did this verse come from? Where did this verse come from? Do you remember? If you don't know the verse, you must know the book. Where do you find this verse? James. Good. Go to the book of James. Go to chapter 5. Verse 30. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing. Of course. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your fault one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man available much. Is there sick among you? Yeah, pray for one another. Pray! When you see a sick among you here, call for the elder of the church. Let him anoint with oil. And the prayer of the faith. Faithful. So here to say, and your sin will even be forgiven. That's what it is. Pray for one another. Right? Well, in the end, these are the four big guys that worth millions. Kenneth Copeland, net worth US $760 million. Next one is Pat Robertson. Net worth is $100 million. Benny Hinn, $42 million. Joel Osteen, net worth $40 million. And many more. They are millionaires. Huh? What am I worth? What am I worth? Priceless. What are you worth? Priceless. Not about money. It's about spiritual value. That's what it is all about. Guide us through, Father, in our life. Grant us understanding and revelation in thy word. I pray, Father, Lord, that you bless. Make us strong, Lord. In time of need, strengthen us with a special anointing that flows from heaven. Lord, we thank you for being gracious to people, for being gracious to whom you will, and be merciful to whom you will, Father. It's all about your love. It's all about you. We thank you, Father. We bless, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.